The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastical. No, fantastic. No, really. It's just super duper, totally fantastic TGIF Friday as we lift each other up in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of truth to the glory of God. First up, don't, and don't. And we look at the how, because nothing less than your survival on this planet is at stake. Next, do what I want. An animated little boy made this statement famous enough for a t-shirt. Unfortunately, it ain't true. Respect my authority. And finally, have you ever felt like your strength is being sapped like the hot summer day? Well, it may be time for some Jesus MD self-evaluation, so get your stethoscope ready.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. Most of you know that. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's good, too. I hear they're having a sale on hummingbirds and carrier pigeons at Home Depot. So if you want to grab one of those and try and send it over to us, we'll let you know if we get the information. Okay? There you go. Here it is. So you can do for praise reports, prayer requests. You can also do a kind of pop question. That's fine. If we can get it in, we'll do our best to do that. And then trivia, which seems to be a crowd favorite. That's the simulation of a crowd noise. Okay. We don't have any sound effects like that, do we? Okay. Yeah, that would be good, right? Okay, here we go. Here's the first trivia question. Here we go. The furnace into which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed was heated how many times hotter than usual? Ooh, very good. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buck up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, I want to bring up a couple of things that are relatively important. Eric reached out to me. We're going to be getting some extra bumper stickers. The God created the universe. He can write a book. He must increase.org bumper stickers. So I'm going to be sending him a couple. I ordered kind of a batch of them if you want them. You can just send me an email. Don't call me. Email. Okay, email. Or email the station. Or text me when it's not the show, okay? Because I don't want to be doing it during the show, okay? That's number one. Number two, I'll say this really nicely. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, everybody has a certain position or station in life, things that they do, and one of the things that I've decided not to do is become a brain surgeon. Why? Because I don't have the education or the wisdom or the wit to be a brain surgeon.
Wow!
Thank you. Thank you very much, by the way, over there, T. You just think that's funny, don't you? Here's the thing, though. When people cross into other industries that they know nothing about, it's like me going, I'm going to teach you how to fly a plane. Grab the rubber band. You know, it's like a terrible idea, right? Isn't that a bad idea?
Yeah,
right.
It is kind of bad.
That's a bad thing. So when people step into other areas they shouldn't step into, right? So theologian people should probably be people that studied theology, read the Bible, did a little research, and not politicians. Isn't that just the nicest way to say what I just said? Isn't it just the nicest way? You're welcome. All right. Are you up? Are you up? We're down to, up today. We're going to do DNA. DNA. What's our DNA? The first one is draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N. And then A, always be ready to
serve.
That's it. DNA. That's what everybody should be functioning in, no matter what the news is. And oh, by the way, I promise there will be more news. There will be absolutely positively be more news. Even if you just tune in the television to catch the weather, it will be news by itself. Because you don't know what the weather is going to be in like a month kind of thing. All right, let's get right into the heart of the matter. So we have our trivia question out there. It's pretty forward, I think. The furnace into which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed into was heated how many times hotter than usual? That's the question. T will help me not forget to answer that if somebody doesn't call in. We are getting answers through the text. Let me get right into it, right into Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I love you. Keep that in mind. I love you. I think you are awesome people. I pray for you every day. Please, please do not shoot a dart at me. I already have an enemy that does that on a regular basis. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I know there's Romans 12, 1, 2, 3, and I'm in a Romans study the Lord does this all the time to me. But it says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in my intro, I said, don't, do, and how. Remember that? There's a reason that I do these ridiculous intros. They actually have to do with the show. Here we have something that tells us explicitly, don't be conformed. Don't conform one's self to another's pattern. The word conform has to do with schematics. Okay, guys, know familiar with schematics? They're kind of like the plans that put the whole thing together. Don't conform your pattern, your schematics, to the schematics of other people, other worldly systems. The world has its own system. What do we know about the world system compared to people that are in the world? Remember, God loves the people, but he doesn't love the system. What is a worldly system? Any system that points to man as the creator or the center of the universe is a worldly system. Any system that points to us as the epitome of all things, the height of all things, that would be a worldly system. Any system that degrades man to be less than God's great creation is also a worldly system. See how those two opposites are right there? So you can have a system that says man is everything, and then you get the other people that say, oh no, the gophers in the woods, those are everything. Let's kill all mankind and just let the gophers rule the world. It's like, what is wrong with you? Okay? Here's the bottom, and that's those same people that think that trees, you know, never mind. So here's the bottom line. Don't be conformed to the pattern, worldly patterns, the ideas of this age. And in this age, we have a lot of cultural patterns, a lot of cultural schematics going on, right? There's a lot of secular progressive thinking that is anti-God. It's one thing to be progressive in your thought in general. I think the church should be progressive in its thinking, not culturally, just moving it forward. But when you talk about cultural progression, you're talking about people that are standing further and further apart from God. Well, that's not okay. That's this age. That's this culture. And I've got a message for you, no matter what anybody tells you. Cultures change. They change just as often as kingdoms change, just as often as the rules of man change, just as often as all those things change. Here's what doesn't change. God. And what God has to say, which is truth. That doesn't change. Everything else bounces up and down. You know, in apologetics, you get that opportunity to say, well, you know, science is the answer to everything. Yeah, 10 years ago, science said the Earth was 30 billion years old. Now they're saying it's 10 billion years old. Tomorrow they're going to say it's 5 billion years old. It keeps changing. But you know what doesn't change? God loves you. You see how that works? Truth stands still and firm. So it says, don't be conformed to the world, to the schematics of the world, but instead be transformed. Now, here's what's amazing. The word conform means schematics, but the word transformed means metamorphosis. And so instead of being conformed and following the pattern of the world, be transformed, change into another form. And what's that form made from? God's molding. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We're going to talk about the how, but I want you to understand that that transformation is you to move away from the age of the world and into the processes and the reflections of Jesus Christ, who's the exact representation of God. It's just like, what? Well, that's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the exact representation, the exact likeness, not kind of a pattern, exactly. And so we're supposed to not be conformed, but we are supposed to be transformed. We're not supposed to follow schematics, but we're supposed to be molded in His way. But the question is, how? How do you do that? And it tells you right there, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewal means make new of thought. And what the scripture wants us to do is have our thoughts follow God's thoughts so that we can be transformed, metamorphosed into His image, walking in His way, reflecting who He is. And then you just ask that simple, dumb, goofy question that I bring up all the time. Where do we find God's thoughts? Well, I don't know. How about His word? His word? Word. Echo. You see what I'm saying? So if you're having His thoughts in your mind and making your mind renewed, then you're going through the process of metamorphosis and you're changing into His way. Because if you don't do that, then the worldly system gets into your mind and the schematics of the world can form you into a worldly person. So it says, don't do this, do this, and this is how. And you go, okay. Does it work perfectly? No. Does everybody do it perfectly? No, I don't think so. I've never seen it perfect. But it's worth the understanding to don't do something, to do something, and to how to do something. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed in your mind. Do that by the thoughts of God. Okay? The answer, by the way, 7 on the trivia question. 7. Thank you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just can't wait.
What's going on? Huh? But yeah. You want to know the answer, I guess.
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elisha raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you, my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have to sit there and wonder.
I'll have to find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We roll. That's a great question. Did he sneeze in his face?
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. T and I were just talking about the fact that there's no way I would know what Jennifer's going to put into the system, and then the answer to that trivia question was seven, and then the last answer to trivia question was seven. Oh, wait, if you think that's a coincidence, watch this. Here's the next trivia question. How many times did Jacob bow as he approached Esau? It's not a diabolical laugh. It's what is that? There's another word for it. But anyway, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and if you go to hemustincrease.org, there's a new picture up there. I throw stuff up there now on a regular basis. I probably have the world's longest first page. It just keeps going and going. It's like, you know, there is a kitchen sink up there. I mean, there's just so much stuff that doesn't make any sense. It's easier just to throw it up there than to edit. This is the thing. And, you know, that's how it goes. Also, I want to point out that if you're on this radio show, you're as subject as anybody else to be on a commercial or on the air. Kind of thing. So there you go. All right. So how many times? So now we just were talking about that. So we were talking about the furnace being heated seven times hotter. And then that trivia question, how many times did the boy sneeze with John in that little trivia bit? And that's seven. And now the question is, how many times did Jacob bow as he approached Esau? Okay. Think you know the answer? You can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in. We're already getting texts in. We love that. It's a great thing. Did I miss anything? I'm on target, right? Okay. All right. Be in prayer for T. She got to work a little extra long tonight because she got to do – what do you got to do? It's kind of like the football thing, right? So you got to make sure it's on the air.
Yep.
So, I really, really like you. But here's my answer. Better you than me. That's my comment.
Thanks, David.
Hey, no problem. I'm here for you. Well, actually, after the show, I won't be. But that's not the point. Very good. Okay, I want to take us to the next level because we're just going to build and build and build. Romans 1:16, one of my absolute positive, most favy passages of all, simply because it is the first thing I've ever taught, first thing I've ever preached. It's the first thing I teach in almost every church, new church ministry I go into. So the first things on the first show here. It's just superbly important. Here's what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Remember, we do our DNA. Never be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. first to the Jew and also to the Greek. And this is not, the intent is not to belittle people when he says first to the Jew and also to the Greek, because just so you can know, later on in the same chapter, he talks about eternal damnation, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. So it's like, this is not a favoritism. This is just, this is how it goes. This is the order of things. And what I want to talk about is this idea that our message is his message. In other words, the Lord has worked in your life and it is awesome. And that is the testimony he's given you. And the ultimate thing that comes out of the testimony he's worked in your life is his message. Our message, our life, is what he did. It's what the Lord did. And some of you came from very simple backgrounds. In other words, it wasn't as complicated. It wasn't as convoluted. It wasn't as polluted. And some of you came out of really very horrific backgrounds. And it's amazing that you're even breathing or still even on the planet. Doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter whether you were a demon-filled person in the graves, in the cemetery where Jesus had cast out spirits, or if it's just somebody who came across and said, yes, that doesn't matter. Everybody's testimony is the testimony it needs to be that God has designed inside of them. The key component is not to be ashamed of that. There should be no shame. I understand there's a lot of jerky people out there, and I'm not excusing all the jerky behavior. And don't get the wrong idea. There's jerky Christians and jerky non-Christians. There's no way in the universe you can say it any different, okay? There's people that are just like, man, they need either a timeout or a good series of medications that just relaxes them, because sometimes people freak out, right? The bottom line is, you, though, have this testimony. You have this thing that God has worked in your life, and it's important for you to understand that you carry that wherever you go. This Romans 1:16 is not a passage to professional ministers. This is a passage to all of us. It's not a professional's minister's call. In fact, the purpose of ministry is found in equipping the saints, not stripping the saints. You get it? In other words, the job of the ministry is to give the saints all the tools they need to do the stuff they need to function. And that's why we said before that the meeting place, the church, is the making place, supposed to be the kind of the training ground, for the marketplace, which is the world. It's a great saying. The meeting place is the making place for the marketplace. And we're supposed to be, the saints are supposed to be equipped and not stripped. And where it's every, oh, we just let the professional handle it. Here's professional ministry 101. Listen to Jesus. There you go. But that's all of it. Now, here's some pretty good examples, and I want to make sure you follow this. And again, I want to make sure people are very careful on stuff like this. Acts 18:14, he reasoned in the synagogue every day and tried to persuade both Jews and Greeks. Acts 19:8, then they entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, engaging in discussion and trying to persuade them about the things related to the kingdom of God. Notice what's being used in the process of bringing people to a knowledge of God. It's not, you know, yelling. It's not screaming. He reasoned. This is Paul reasoning in the synagogue. He's trying to persuade. He's using conversation and truth and presenting it, and they either say yes or they say no. Remember what it says. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. You don't hold the power of God. I don't care if you are an apostle. An apostle doesn't hold the power of God the way the gospel holds it. It is the power of God. The message from God that it was given to Abraham prior in Genesis 15:6, when it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him, imputed to him for righteousness, that is the gospel. If you believe in Jesus, this is what Romans 4 is all about. You believe in Jesus, that he died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. If you believe that, then the righteousness that comes from God through Christ is given to you. Bam! That's it. Not you have to be this perfect person. You'll never be good enough for God, ever. That's why he credits us righteousness. He imputes it to us. And people should be, it should be a persuasion, it should be a discussion. It should never be violent, ever. It should never be a war in worldly terms. It's a spiritual war. You're fighting for people's souls. The weapons of our warfare are not worldly. You got some of the religions out there, and they're like, if you don't like the way they do it, they cut your hands off, they cut your neck off. It's like, what? That means that you have no confidence in the truth. That's what it means. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, although we're walking the flesh, we do not wage war in a fleshly way, since the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. The Christian is supposed to understand that our whole warfare is based in utilizing or bringing forth or sharing the truth, God's truth. You can't make the conversion happen. You can't make people respond or respect. You can only share. The rest of it's up to God. Remember what Paul said? You know, I planted, and Apollos, he watered. Paul was the planter. He put the initial seed in. Apollos was the waterer. He came behind and did all the trimming and all this stuff. But he says right in the passage, but only God gives the growth. You can't make somebody saved. Any belief system that tries to force people to believe, it's ridiculous. It's not even a belief system. It's a cult. It's like, what are you crazy? And in fact, being a Jewish Christian might be the most bizarre thing in the world, because the covenant that God had with the Jews was circumcision. It's like, that's not the funnest way to enter into this kind of covenant. But the idea behind all of that is to understand only God can put that in a person's heart. That you be circumcised in the heart. That's what God wants. He wants you to cut out some of the extra flesh. Why? Because there's a lot of it. Isn't there? And so our message is his message, and it's what he's done in our lives, and you share it. Do you have to be brilliant at it? Now, I confess that there are some people that can tell the gospel so well. I mean, they just have that knack, that ability, that gift. I'm not one. I'm much more of an encourager. That's where my gift strength. It's what it is. I'm not going to complain about it. I love what I do. And so the idea behind that is for you to recognize you're not to be somebody you're not. Nobody's calling you to be Billy Graham. They're calling you to be you. The Lord is calling you to be you. And you should just be you. Just do the best you can. Bring it before the Lord. Offer it up. See what he does. You know, some of the greatest testimonies as well are some of the people that have put forth some of the worst explanations of the gospel. And then the people go, I want to be saved. And you're like, you do? You know, it's like amazing. It's like, how'd that happen? Well, it's because it's not the person. It's God that's seeding the growth, giving that growth that makes it happen. You can share, but it's up to him. You understand? All right. All right, so now just to close out. So the first trivia question, how many times did they heat up the furnace? 7. The middle question during our break, 7. How many times sneezes? And the answer, how many times did Jacob bow before Esau when he approached? 7. Ha! Don't tell me the Lord's not working. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! In the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this. Sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And you go, oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going. Because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So one of the things you might have noticed is I'm starting to bring some of the things on our show that we've been doing in Texas into the rotations so that people are reminded of it. Because some of those things are good, right? And then we want that, and we want to encourage one another. And sometimes, I know it sounds ridiculous, but sometimes it's an encouragement to me to hear. So anything that we can do to lift one another up, help each other grow in this process. And I think people take lightly, like joining in prayer on something. I think it's a very important, almost sacred, and I don't want to get like over holy roller on this, but I think you join in something and by praying for it, you become a part of it. And that's the best way to start any process. And that's one of the reasons I like the Bucket Ministry. And I think that people should be aware of the Bucket Ministry, which we have a link on our website, because that is exactly what Christopher thinks the exact same way. He said he would rather have prayer people than financial givers any day because of how much spiritual warfare and how many things go on. It's like, it's true. It's true. We need prayer coverage on a regular, let me rephrase that, regular basis. That's pretty good, like the horse from Mr. Ed, right?
You know, that was
not bad.
All right.
Wilbur,
how's that? Not bad. Poor T. Jesus, boy, that's somebody you should be praying for. It's a poor girl has to put up with this. All right, here we go. What is the name of the Bible person who went to visit the witch at Endor? Not a good thing, by the way, to do. But who did that? Who did that? If you know that answer, you can call in or you can text. Either way, text is 214-210-8483. Don't forget about hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Excellent. All right. So we got a little bit of history. We're going to do that in a second. I do want you guys to pray. So just so you can know for me, for what's going on. So I had to drop a 5-page paper yesterday that I didn't actually had to do it this morning. You found out yesterday afternoon it had to get done.
Like good organizational skills.
It's great. It's yeah. Great.
It's great. And then I had to do it's not a difficult quiz. So I was able to ace that today. Then I have to finish this paper that I've been working on for 25 pages long, 24 citations. Now I've got it down to 20 pages and 21 citations, which is actually the ratio I'm really looking for. And I got to finish that by tomorrow. So just pray that my brain stays inside my head I told my wife, you know what I told her? I said, if I'm grumpy tomorrow, it's got nothing to do with you. See, I just think if you're forewarned, right?
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, that's just
giving the heads up.
Yeah, she knows. I mean, she knows what she's coming home to. It's going to be like, there's going to be papers flying everywhere. That's just one of those things. All right, let's get into history. History. How about that?
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, today's got some interesting, I think some interesting history into it. Today is World Postcard Day. Did you ever send a postcard? Yeah, I mean, you're a little bit, I mean, you're a little bit younger. Did you ever send a postcard? Is that just like not like
not? I don't think that was something I ever did.
Yeah. See, we had to do that in school. In school, they had you pick like an address from somebody who was in some other country and just sent them a postcard. This is, you know, back in the late '60s. You had to do that, and it's like now you just, the postcards has got to be electronic, or nobody even knows. They're like, what's a postcard? So, but I will say that there's other things about today that are excellent. Today is National Family Bowling Day. That's another I was a bad bowler, but I threw it the ball really hard. That was my problem. And then it's National Pro-Life Cupcake Day. So if you're going to eat a cupcake, do it for pro-life. We support that. And then for those that need to know, on this day, a lot of people don't know this, and then we'll get to our caller. On this day in 1992, a meteorite landed in a residential driveway, destroying the family's car. That happened. That's pretty amazing, right? That happened in 1992 on this day. A meteor landed in your driveway. Well, if it was snowing, I guess that would be the end of that. All right, we got somebody for the trivia? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Yeah, David, this is Ace.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. Blessed again.
I know you're
Everything's
blessed.
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, my friend. So this is not a difficult one, but it is a bizarre one. What is the name of the Bible person who went to visit the Witch of Endor?
Well, it was King Saul. It went and inquired of the Witch of Endor.
That is correct, sir. You are right.
You know, David, that story about calling up Samuel from the dead.
Yep.
I've always believed that it was Samuel, and I do. You know, there's a scripture that says don't call up the dead in the law. It says, you know, do not do necromancer, which means, you know, calling up dead people. Unless you're a sorcerer or something like that, you can do that. But normal people couldn't do that. So I don't want people getting crazy and saying, well, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to call my grandma. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, because he told Saul exactly what he needed to hear. I mean, a demon, he would have said, hey, Saul, you're doing great. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
But no, Samuel told him, you know, the kingdom's tore from you and given to your neighbor David. So, you know, I've always, and Josephus, you know, Josephus, he agrees. I'm going to say he agrees with me, but I guess I agree with him.
Yeah, he was a little bit before you.
Well, he said the same thing. He
exactly.
believed it was Samuel.
Exactly.
And I do too.
So I think there's a great truth to that, and that's an excellent point that you brought up. And the truth in that lies in the understanding that, first of all, the person who was doing the process, they were completely shocked, which tells you that they weren't expecting what happened. They were surprised. Yeah. Whoa, what's going on? And you know, I think that that's the Lord using that one moment to go, dude, your time is over. And it's like, that was it. That was it. But yeah, it's forbidden. And ironically, it was Saul who made it one of the most executable crimes, and yet he was the one who was doing it. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
You need some for yourself, you cut the corners.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent
job.
That's
all the way it is. Yeah.
Excellent, brother. You have a great point. Great, great point you made. It's a very dangerous thing for people to get involved with.
Yeah, sure is. Just like drinking and all the other things that the Bible skirts around in different issues. And some scriptures, a person would read them wrong. They'd say, well, they drank. Let me drink. And, of course, I don't like to preach about drinking. If I can get away from it, I don't want anybody, because I don't want to lead anybody down that road, because it is a dangerous road.
It's a bad road. It sure is. I've been involved in casting out spirits of people that have gone through that process. It's amazing stuff. So, yep, I hear you. I hear you.
I just love truth. You know, truth is truth, and sometimes it don't sound, you know, doesn't sound like the right thing, but it's truth, and then you have to go with truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. You're a very special person on Earth, and I'm honored to know you and to be a part of what you're doing.
And so, I, you know what? I'm honored to know you, and I appreciate that so greatly.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Excellent job. Right? Ace just hitting it out of the park. All right.
Oh,
that's
beautiful.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, it's like, just think about how people, just one, sometimes the show's just got that unique. All right, let me talk about this real quickly because this is one of those cool things. So one of my big things on the paper that I have to do is this Genesis 15, which says Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday in regards to imputation, and that's really what the word credited means. It's in Genesis 15:6. It's seven times. In Romans 4, it's alluded to. It's in Galatians 3, and it's even in James. Okay, so one of the things I want you to understand is that connection to this connection that I'm going to read. And I love this because we talk about righteousness, we talk about imputed righteousness, but there's a flip side to the coin. I only got a couple minutes, so I want to get it in. It says this in Psalm 32, verse 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. What's hugely important about this is understanding the two sides of righteousness. The first side, listen to me, is God crediting you, imputing to you, not imparting, imputing to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When he, you know that expression? God looks at you, he puts on his Jesus glasses. That is imputation. That's exactly what it means. But the flip side on righteousness is that God doesn't hold your sin against you. In other words, it's not only that he just doesn't see, but there are some things that you do and I do and we do on a daily basis, and the Lord just doesn't count it. As he does count the righteousness of Christ in our lives, there's some things he just goes, well, that was dumb. Let's move on. That was stupid. Let's move on. I'll just ignore that because you know you did that because you're not very bright. Let's just go forward. And that's the other side of righteousness. The definition of righteousness has two sides to it. And it's the straightforward, blessed is a man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. When the Lord forgives you, covers you, okay? Listen to what I just said. Covers you. You're blessed because it's the righteousness of God being thrust upon you, both in the practical sense of he sees the righteousness of Jesus and in the backside sense of he's not going to tag that one on you. Don't tell me there's not a bazillion things you and I have done that we couldn't go, whoops. But part of being right and righteous with God is the Lord going, what? I didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. And if the Lord does that, don't bring it up to him, right? If he forgets, go along with God. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903 503-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock, I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com, a website that September, my sister-in-law and Glenn, her husband, put together with some free worship music on there that you're welcome to get at any point, livinginhisgrip.com. Let's see. I got to do one more trivia question. It is a little tougher. Okay. Make sure everybody heard me. It's a little tougher. Okay. All right. Here it is. What were the name of the two believers who discipled Apollos? Text if you know it, 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now I don't often do this, but I'm going to do it just real quickly. If you really want to have just a wonderful understanding of the righteousness I was talking about on the two sides of it, the side that the Lord credits you righteousness, imputes it to you, and then also that the Lord doesn't count your sin against you, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be very careful how I say it, but read Romans 4. Now watch what I'm going to say, but I want you to read it in a thought-for-thought translation, not I happen to be a huge fan of ESV, and NASB is, I think, the greatest. I think it's the greatest version they've done, just because it's the most accurate. But if you really want to catch the fullness of the understanding, try like the New Living Bible in Romans 4. Just read it in something a little softer, more thought for thought, only because you catch so much of the flavor, and it's so powerful. Because that text that I read you in 32, the Psalm 32, that text, Psalm 32, and Genesis 15:6 are both in Romans 4. See, when they talk about the gospel ahead of time, when God declared Abraham righteous because of his faith, that was the gospel ahead of time. And Abraham's life being reflective, willing to lay down his very son, the promises of God, all those things, again, reflective. It's just so cool when you really get this. The consistency between the Old and the New Testament is fabulous. It's miraculous. Over 40 authors, over 3,500 years. You're just like going, no way. It's fabulous. But I'm just encouraging you to do that. I think that'll be a big blessing for you. Okay, so trivia question was, what were the name of the two believers who discipled Apollos? The answer is going to be in the book of Acts, if you're trying to find out where that's going to be. And then I'll give the answer after that. Did I miss anything? Did we do the website? We're all getting that? Everything was good? Okay. Don't forget, like I said, I have a new picture on the website. It's cool. That's what I did. I actually wrote in one of my... I wrote in one of my posts, I took a picture on the software program that I have that it gives a graph, and I said, this has nothing to do with the study, but I paid for the software program, and I want to get my money's worth. So that's what I put in my post. Okay, somebody calling in, I guess, on the trivia question. So we ready? Okay, all right. Getting ready. Getting ready to move my finger over. Hold on. We do sound effects and everything, okay? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. What's going on?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Always good to hear your voice, by the way.
Thank you. It's always good to hear you, period.
I appreciate that, brother.
All the time.
All right.
In fact, I would love to hear you more.
Well, I appreciate that. I do.
I'm going to take a stab at it.
Okay.
I think it was Priscilla and Aquila.
That is correct. Great job, Ronnie. That is exactly right. And what's amazing is that Apollos, really, if you get into it, there's two things that a lot of people don't know that they might not have studied through. But one, he's the only person where Paul said, well, I asked him to do this, but I don't know if he's going to do it. It's like, if you read it, it's like Apollos had a very determined attitude, but he was also very trainable. He was willing to listen to Priscilla and Aquila to get a better understanding, which is the one thing that I think that no matter how many years you've taught, no matter how many wise things you've come up with, you should always be willing to grow because you've not reached the point of being exactly like Christ. So we should always be willing to take stuff in, always be willing to learn and grow.
Amen.
I love that guy. That guy's just, I love him. I love his whole spirit. But the fact that he said, Paul wrote and said, I don't know if he's going to do it or not. It's like, you just get the impression he is a very determined guy. Love it. Excellent job, Ronnie. Excellent answer on trivia.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
You also. All right. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excelente. We're just having a wonderful show. I love it. All right. Let me get into this. All right. So this will curb a couple of people the wrong way. My intent is not to do that. I think you should know that by now. That's never my intent. I'm just presenting a different side of the argument. I want to talk about this element in regards to struggling with sin within. Not going to take a lot of time to do it. Don't need to take a lot of time to do it. But here's what Paul said, and I want to kind of get into its flavor here in Romans. This is 15 through 18. He said, I do not understand what I am doing because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it's sin living in me, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. See how he defines that? It's not that it's him, it's in his flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but the ability to do it is not. Here's where there's some people that come out and say, well, this is just Paul talking about positionally and this and that. Oh, what a bunch of rubbish. This is Paul going, yeah, you know, there's some things in me that are just like, I really want to do better in it, but I'm not. And it's like, okay. And people are like, no, it's just all, it has to be theologically positional. You know, Paul's a human being. Let's try the same thing that you and I go through. There's a lot of things in us that we don't want to do, and we do them. And there's a lot of things we do want to do, and we don't do them. Hey, you know what that's called? Needing a savior, right? Here in verse 19 and 20, it says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but I practice the evil I don't want to do. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin living in me. So he's covering this from two sides. He's going, look, I'm doing what I hate, and I'm not doing what I want. Can you identify to that? It's just a simple question. At times, in your thinking, in your speaking, when only God is listening to every single nuance of your existence, are there some things that you do that you hate and some things you're not doing that you wish you were doing? Welcome to the Christian walk. It doesn't matter. Either way, he's acknowledging that sin is living in him when he's in the flesh, when he's in the old man, when he's allowing that old nature to take way too much room. Yeah, it's crucified positionally, but not practically, which is what we talked about yesterday in Ephesians 4:22. And when people say, well, Paul didn't really think he was a sinner, then why do you say in 1 Timothy 1:15, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Which, by the way, is the same thing you and I go through, because we think we're the worst. It's like we should all be going, man, that guy totally nailed it. That's exactly what I go through. I think I'm the worst. Because what I've been through and what I know. And I do things that I don't want to do. And I'm not doing the things I always want to do. And what do I figure out? There's trouble inside of me. Shock. There's trouble. There's trouble inside. Really? What's the answer? Verse 24 and 25. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is always Jesus. Yeah, you go up. Yeah, you go down. Yeah, you have some really goods, and you might have some bads. And there's a part of you that's like, yes. And there's another part of you that's like, no. But the answer is always Jesus. How do you like that? The answer is always Jesus. It doesn't matter. It's not even abnormal. I wish people would recognize it. There's a whole group of teaching out there saying, no, it's wrong because people feel inappropriate guilt. If you do something wrong, you should be guilty. If you steal the food, you shouldn't feel a little bad if you didn't need to steal it. Yes, you should. But the idea is to understand that the answer is in Jesus. And that goes for your frustration with how the plan of God unfolds, because you don't understand it.
You're just like, I hope it's good.
Nah, he loves you. He has your best interests in mind. Everything he's coordinated will be for your benefit. He'll take care of it. You trust him. The answer is in Jesus. But Dave, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Nope. But you can know him who brings tomorrow. And if you know him who brings it, then it doesn't matter what's in it. That's the key. So the answer is always for that conflict inside of you. Stop beating yourself up that there is a conflict. That's the best news in the world, because it means that the Holy Spirit's living in you. And the answer is Jesus. And that's the only answer you're ever going to need. Period. Got it? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.